to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kovches, the 108th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. This is a short Mizmor and it should sound somewhat familiar. Let's see why. Let's take a look inside. It is an overview, 14 psukim long and divided into three basic sections. The first pasuk is its Ksoves, its introduction. We don't have so many introductions around here, so this is unique. And it goes Shir Mizmor LeDavid. It is a Shir, a song of David, which is fascinating. This seems to be more like the first and second book of Tehillim in that respect. We'll see why. There are three sections. Beis to Vov are praise for Hashem. That's the section 2 to 6. Then there is Zion to Yud, which is the main part of the Mizmor, is a prayer for the fulfillment of the heavenly promise of being saved, of being redeemed. And finally, Yud Aleph to Yud Dalad, where there's an expression of trust in the salvation of Hashem to the nation of Israel. In terms of our theme, this Mizmor seems to be said in the morning, before dawn, with a musical accompaniment. We describe the Mizmor being said by, it sounds like either a Jewish general or king before going out to war with the enemy. He talks about Ura Hanevel V'chinor, or Ira HaShachar. He's talking about how in the morning he's going to rise and he's going to awaken the dawn by his calls and praise to Hashem. Whoever is saying the Mizmor makes a neder that he will promise Hashem if he does succeed by publicizing this to the nations. He says, he's going to publicize this miracle when it ultimately does happen. There is hope to return to, of the forlorn and the forsaken to the holy places that were abandoned in Golos. As he says in Pasuk Yo'alef, Mi yovileni ir mivtzar, mi nochani ad Edom. Who's going to bring me back to the fortified cities, the ones that are under the control of Edom? It sounds like we're talking about a person from outside, from Golos, who is no longer there right now, hoping to be let back in. And finally, at the end, there is an intimate request for mercy and the words that are of trust in Hashem. Be'elokim na'asechayil v'hu yavus tzarenu. We will only be able to do strong things in the strength of Hashem, and He will ultimately be the one to trample our tormentors. In terms of structure, the basic structure is Shevach and then Bakasha, which means praise, and then request, which is the way that our Amida, our Shmone Esrei, is structured. We first praise Hashem and then make requests of Him. The movement between Shevach and Bakasha is pretty smooth, in the sense that first we are asked for the spreading of the glory of Hashem, and then the success of Israel. And really the two are connected. We are asking Hashem, we are ultimately your agents, your vehicles of expression of kavod, of honor. That being the case, you please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take the opportunity of spreading your honor by letting us be successful, by letting us be your successful agents. That seems to be the transition in this Mizmor. There are various veiled references to the promises of the fathers, of the Avos, specifically Yaakov Avinu. The three places which are mentioned, which are referenced, are Shechem, Sukkos, and Gilad, which are three explicit places where Yaakov Avinu traveled to, but not just traveled to any time, on his way back into the land of Israel. In a certain sense, we can metaphorically see Yaakov Avinu in his personal Golos, which is the Maaseh Avos Simon Nabonim, which is the precursor to the national exile of the nation of Israel, and they will, and they are going to follow their footsteps, or the footsteps of Yaakov Avinu, as he returns to these three symbolic sites, as he returns to the land of Israel. It is fascinating to note that this Mizmor is parallel to two other Mizmorim in Tehillim, almost identically. The first, the psukim from Beis to Vav, is really a parallel of the last five psukim of the Mizmor Nun Zion 57. The following psukim in Amizmor, from Pasuk Zion to Yudalid in Amizmor, are the same exact psukim, almost word for word, from psukim Zion to Yudalid in Mizmor Samach. Which means that our entire Mizmor, with exception of the introductory line, is to be found elsewhere in Tehillim. How do we deal with this? The Malbim says a very fascinating, beautiful insight, and that is that Mizmor Nun Zion, where it originated, the first half originated, is when David HaMelech is fleeing from Shaul HaMelech. Mizmor Samach, the 60th one, where the second half of this Mizmor is derived from, is when Israel is in a situation of helplessness nationally. In response, David HaMelech takes the personal and national feeling of yi'ush, of despondence, of feeling rejected, and puts the two together into this Mizmor, ultimately dedicating his life to noticing and seeing and evoking the word of Hashem in his life. So what he's doing is he's going back to a personal and national experience and revamping them by putting the two together back to back. The way Rav Hirsch explains the same perspective is he says that this mizmor is looking back at the most terrible moments of personal and national life and realizing that the words that he said then in those moments of terrible tragedy, of terrible threat, were in fact crucible moments in his life, moments of formation, moments which changed him. And it's fascinating, in research, Dr. Martin Seligman notes he has a website called Authentic Happiness in which he has many different questionnaires. He has accumulated a huge amount of work in terms of statistics of humans' happiness, flow, optimism. He was able to put together the data based on the surveys and the profile users to see tens of thousands of profiles in terms of happiness, optimism, and various other measures of positive psychology. And they put out a questionnaire to people about people who had experienced terrible things, the 10 most terrible things they put out that human beings can endure, whether it be torture, incarceration in solitary confinement, the loss of a loved one, terrible disease, rape, all the terrible things that could happen to a person. And they let people who are their followers answer those surveys, and they found an interesting thing, that anybody who endured 10 of the most terrible things that a human being can endure, those people's average happiness and resilience and optimism was higher than the average person's. And a person who'd endured 2 of those experiences had an even higher rating of optimism and positivity than people who'd experienced only 1. Which does not mean to say that a person should opt into these kind of things, God forbid. What it does mean is to say that sometimes these moments in life can actually be crucibles of growth. And that's what Rav Hirsch is saying. Back into his life and noticing that those terrible moments personally and nationally are in fact the moments which shaped him to be who he is. In terms of events behind this mizmor, it could be the nation of Israel describing that what they overcame and how they'll pay homage to Hashem. But the Radak says it's really actually a Golus experience. This is a psalm to be said in Golus, in exile, when a person is looking from the outside in and hoping and wishing that ultimately they will be able to come through and be able to praise Hashem in that moment when they finally get the redemption. In terms of the places in our davening that this appears, it does not appear wholesale, although there are a few psukim which appear here and there as an example. Interestingly enough, Pasuk Gimel, Uro Hanevel, V'chinor, or Ira Shachar, that he's going to awaken with these musical instruments, he's going to awaken the dawn. What is this referring to? So the Tur in Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim Simon Aleph, the very, very beginning of the Torah's masterpiece, which became the precursor of Shulchan Aruch, he points out that there is a Yisgaber Ka'ari, a person should wake up like a lion, a person should wake up strong at the beginning of the day, and the Torah adds on, V'af im yisienu yitzroi b'choref le'mor, even if it's in the winter, and you're going to hear this little voice inside of you which says, Eich tamod b'boki ki akor godol, and how can I get up, it's so cold outside. Or he says, or maybe you're in the summer and you say, you're like, I don't have enough sleep yet. He says, get over that. You should wake up the dawn and the dawn should not wake up you. And it quotes our Pasuk. So it's an attitude to davening as a whole. Pasuk Zion also appears at the end of our Amidah. L'man yechol sun yedidecha hoshir yemincha v'aneini. That those whom you may love be rescued to deliver you with your right hand and answer me. That's the pasuk we say at the end of the supplication section of the Shemona Esrei. And that'll be our pasuk in the focus today. And the Al-Shik explains what that means to say is that sometimes we turn to Hashem and realize that we really don't have the zchus. We do not have the merit to ask for what we really want. And we have this whole laundry list We have 13 brachos of Vayikosha and the Shemona Esrei, and we have so many things we desperately, desperately need. But we just didn't fill up the bank account. We're making overdraft calls. We're not simply able to explain why we deserve this. At the end of the Shemona Esrei, we say to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we don't have a zchus, think about the suffering we went through, Hashem. Think about how many tzaddikim went through suffering, unmitigated, unaccountable suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of Yedidecho, those who are dear to you, those who suffered, what seems like needlessly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashia Yomincho V'Aneni, save us. Give us the salvation. Sometimes we don't always have merit, but the suffering as well is something to be taken into the Cheshbon, and that is what the Al-Sheikh ultimately says. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.